There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, 1207 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Wednesday. Another couple hours of live local talk. You know how we do it around here. And reminder, too, the 55 hours a week plus of live local shows. Like, we're a locally owned company, locally staffed company, local people here. Those shows available in our podcast platform. You can go, listen, wherever you subscribe for podcasts, they show up there. If there's one that we're missing, let us know. I think we're on all of them. You can go directly to fmtalk1065.com, go to the website, click the podcast tab and get it there. Or best yet, and I wish I could tell you it was by design, it's just the way it works. The FM Talk 106.5 app is the first place our podcast posts. And you can search through them and listen to them right there off the app. And if you haven't got the app yet, go ahead and do that. If you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store and just look for FMTALK1065. No point between the 6 and 5. I don't know why. It just messes it up. So FM Talk 1065. Same thing over at Google Play. If you're a manly Android user, you go over there and check that out, FM Talk 1065. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. It takes, like, no time. You get our social media feeds on there. You can stream the station. Of course, you can leave us a talk back message, show schedules, tip of the iceberg. Check it out. It's like a Leatherman or a multi-tool, but it's digital. It does a lot of stuff. Get that FM Talk 106.5 app. All right. So coming up on the show today, real treat. I mentioned that Mobile Police Chief Paul Prine would be joining me, as well as Mobile Police Sergeant John Young. Sergeant Young, and a lot to talk about here. Thanks, gentlemen, for being here. Thanks for coming back. And we got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Sean.
You know, Chief, when we talked two times ago, we were talking about some stats. Right. And you were giving us stats just within this last year, which, right. And I know we want to take some, but I want to visit that because I think it is a compliment to you and the officers with the police department that we have these high-profile stories. We'll talk about them. We will. But the dent in this gun culture violence that was raging. Can you tell folks about that who hadn't heard that before, what happened 2022 up to June, and then what happened afterwards?
So, yeah, and I appreciate the opportunity to come on and tell the story. The official numbers will come out with the annual report in March of this year, but the overall number will not change. That being said, so we started last year targeting certain individuals in the community that we knew are prone to gun violence or violent crimes, period. And so what that means is the police department is just not indiscriminately going out into a neighborhood,
right,
and blanketing a neighborhood and just arresting people for all sorts of crimes. It's really not lending itself to violent crime. Overall, we're going to be 3% down in our overall Part 1 or felony crimes. That was largely driven by vehicle burglaries as it relates to catalytic converters. Okay,
but if preach.
and that was a nationwide problem. That too has slowed down. But if you take out the violent crime, that's including residential burglaries, commercial burglaries, larceny thefts, things of that nature, vehicle thefts. But when you look at violent crime, Sean, we're double digits down in every single category.
And I think that's surprising. Y'all listen to that once again. Double digits down.
Double digits down. And I think it's important, as I give you the numbers, this is why it's important. We're 72 officers short, and other cities the size of Mobile, if not bigger, seeing double-digit increases, and we had a stark reduction. We have a solid plan. Now we have Operation Echo Stop that is a part of that plan. We're targeting known individuals in our community that we know are committing the violence. 20% down in homicides. In real numbers, let me just add the human component. That's 10 less homicides 2022 compared to 2021.
10 more people living.
10 more people living, 10 more families not grieving. Mm-hmm. And, you know, depending on the situation, that's 10 young men that are not going to be locked up in prison, and mm-hmm. 10 families of those young men that are not grieving their kid being locked up. That is huge. 28, almost 30% down in armed robberies, 22 compared to 21. 13% down in gunshot victims that are associated with those type of crimes. The reason it's 13%, if you look at the overall, you have a lot of domestics that are involved in the assaults category. Can't do nothing about a domestic. Right, right. You and your wife get into it, absolutely nothing I could do, but right. unfortunately I have to claim the stat, right?
Right.
But when you remove that out, 13% down in gunshot violence, okay? That's huge. 20% down in the shooting intos. You know, we talked about gang violence and
shooting
activity.
Shooting into mother's houses, grandmother's houses,
absolutely.
Innocent people's houses.
Sean, you're spot on. 20% down. And that is a testament to really four things, okay? One, obviously my faith is a big deal. It carries over with me with everything. I have a lot of people in the community praying for our department and certainly for wisdom and understanding of how we move forward. Number two, if I can just say, is a big thank you to the community. We've seen over 2022 a large uptick in people calling in tips. We've even had mothers recently, Sean, to turn their kids in because they said, you know what, I would rather see him safe and living in prison than to see him dead on the side of the street. Real quick, third, a big shout out to the mayor's office because he understands the attrition problem and the crime problem and has given us virtually every resource we need to get the job done. And more importantly, last but certainly not least, is the men and women on the department buying into the mission program and pushing it. And I think you see with all these components coming together the stark reduction in crime, and I couldn't be more happy.
Well, it's it shows by the numbers, and it shows, I mean, and also to go back, that really started in June.
Didn't. Well, let me back up.
Because it's even more significant.
Well, let me say this. So, you know, Echo Stop, ShotSpotter, it went live in June. So there is a correlation in the homicides that completely dropped off, okay, starting around June. But we can actually go back in all the other categories around March. We started this program in January 1 of 2022.
Okay.
And so by the time June got here, you started seeing the momentum and the crime going down, but we actually started seeing that trending down around March of last year in the spring.
And you know, we can see this, and I'm going to come back. We'll talk in Nye's Law, too, going forward, how that helps keep people off the streets like this. But, I mean, I know there's suspects you can't, but like the Walmart shooting, you hear that, and you hear the priors for that person.
Unbelievable.
Thank you. Because as a citizen, I hear that, and I go, why does that person have a chance to be out there doing that again?
Right.
You know?
So because of the Constitution, people are granted bail, right? And it does lock those judges in and being able to prevent them from being in, out on the streets, right? That was the idea behind Anaya's Law. And so now we get these hardened criminals, these violent offenders. Those are the ones we're targeting with Anaya's Law. And really, it's twofold. We arrest a guy. All we have to do, and it can be very tough, we have to show that this person has the likelihood of reoffending again,
mm-hmm.
and that the evidence is such that it is likely to convict that person. And the I think the bad part of Anaya's Law, we're starting to see it as it develops out, we're having to give up a lot of evidence on the front end and of the detention hearing rather than the trial. And that makes it a little bit difficult, and it's going to challenge a little bit the police department in the future. But I think we're giving too much up on the front end, and it's certainly helping the defense out and their cases going forward.
In the short term, though, I mean, it keeps that person off the street.
Well, Sean, look at Rouser.
Yeah,
he was involved in the Walmart shooting, and then look at now.
And go back, and we're talking about him, the Walmart shooting, then you go back, and you're like, how is this guy?
Right, so now we can link him to the paparazzi shooting. We can certainly link him to a home invasion. And now a murder that occurred in D'Iberville, Mississippi. And so when I tell you we're using this only for those hardened, violent criminals, that's exactly what it was intended to do.
So with that, you know, you talk about those stats, and, you know, you've talked to me about this. Sergeant Young's talked to me about this. Sheriff Cochran, Captain Birch, that there's a certain, like, we get an idea when we're not in law enforcement. We hear there's X number of these kind of crimes, and then we often will picture there's an individual associated one with each of those.
Sure.
And in reality, whether it's property crime or violent crime, quite often it's a tall silo. That person is responsible for, one person is responsible for a lot of those.
Man, you're spot on. And the data in law enforcement tells us that 10% of our offenders in any community are committing between 70 and 90% of our crime.
10%.
Now the goal is what? To identify who the 10%, and that's where the challenge comes from.
Okay, and that's one of the things you talked about, that it's this holistic thing, even though it's a goofy word, but I mean, every year it's a holistic. But it is. It's so, because a lot of people were focused on ShotSpotter, right?
Right.
And he said, hey, it's more than that. It's EchoStop. It's people like me that never called in hearing gunshots before.
Yep.
You know, you shame me into it, rightfully so, because right. I never did. I thought, the police know. They know. Right. So that's changing. You said people are calling in tips. And so, yeah, maybe holistically, that word, it's working.
Well, if I can just make one brief point about that. So when we brought EchoStop in with ShotSpotter, we found out that roughly there was a 4% call service related to any given shot in the community.
Explain that to me. Call service.
So call service. So that's the public calling in. They hear a shot. You have at XYZ intersection, somebody hear gunshots. Less than 4% of the people were calling that call in.
Right.
So what that told us is, okay, we need to build trust up, because apparently the community didn't feel like anything would be done. I'm just going to call, or to your point, somebody else will call and we'll deal with it then. Well, as a preventive measure, we started going out. And so when we get these calls now, we'll go to the intersection and we'll pick on every street four or five houses, hang these door knockers up there with a wee tip or an anonymous tip line or a QR code that you can go and make your call. And to prove our point that it works, in 4%, we were roughly about a 4% call-in volume of shots being right. fired in the neighborhood. Now we're up 6 months later to 25%.
Whoa.
So we're buying in, or getting the community to buy in, that, hey, you trust us, we trust you, and we've got to work together to run out this disorder and decay.
Absolutely. Coming right back to our conversation with Chief Prine, Sergeant Young, right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. Glad to have you along. And continued our discussion. We'll get your questions, too, from the text line at 343-0106. Mobile Police Chief Prine and Sergeant Young in studio. Talk about this technology out there, but let's talk about kind of policing and the ideas around policing, because I've got a couple people here saying bring back the Jaguar unit and the jump out boys. Y'all can't come in here, whether it's Sergeant or you, every time somebody's...
Right, and so I will tell you this. Those were street-level interdiction teams that were valid, certainly in the 90s and the early to mid-2000s. But what we found is that, like anything, you know, we battle perception in the community.
Mm-hmm.
And the perception was that, you know, the police is out indiscriminately just arresting everybody for every little petty crime out there. And we may have even given the public reasons to believe that. However, we've kind of gotten away from that over the last 8 or 9 years because of the negative connotation with it. But make no mistake about it, Sean, we still have what's called a street team, a street enforcement team, that virtually does the same thing. The difference is rather just indiscriminately out there arrest and stop every single individual, right, who's going about their daily lives and their business. Now we're more targeted approach. We're focusing on those individuals that are committing the violent crimes, and we're targeting them and them only. And this is why you're seeing the stark reduction in crime.
Yeah, those numbers are something out there. So, and also part of it, and Sergeant Young, this part of it, like, okay. When you kept those 10 people alive, you kept those 10 families from grieving. I also look at it and I see this Hatfield and McCoy thing that happens in our area, right? It's, I mean, there's they shot somebody in somebody's crew, and somebody goes back and shoots somebody. If you stop that first shooting, then you probably have maybe stopped a chain of further shootings. Is that fair?
That's exactly right, and that's what where our partnership with community is so important. Fortunately, with technology, a lot of times they promote their intentions. They'll Facebook Live or use social media to advertise it.
This is wild that they do this.
It is.
Somebody.
Thank goodness for dumb criminals. But if we build a stronger partnership with community, then when they see it, they'll call us and tell us, hey, Buckshot is on Facebook saying he's going to go do something over here on this side of town. Mm-hmm. And it gives us a heads up because the citizens, 99% of the citizens in Mobile are not involved in violence and they don't like violence. Well, our 100% of our police force is committed to that.
Right.
So if we work together, then we do a much better job of combating it. It is a partnership, and it has improved. The numbers speak for itself, Sean. Mm-hmm. The numbers speak that the community is involved, but it also shows that being down 70 officers, the police are committed. The police believe in the message. The police sees the value of our tools. All of these things are just tools. The men and women that respond to Chief reminded me yesterday, Jay, why you're not a cop, you got a desk job. But there are cops on our force that are out there responding to the calls, that are collecting evidence, that are the face to the community. The downward trend of violent crime speaks volumes to their dedication and their hard work, along with the community. With those two components working together, we can continue addressing these problems and continue seeing a decline in violent crime.
And I think that's got to build on itself, right? That success there. Gentlemen, right. That when in the community they say, all right, the officers came in here, they dealt with this, they did what they told me they were going to do.
Right.
I could anonymously say this, and now this bad guy that has, like you said, 99% of us are want to live peaceful, normal lives. You've taken that person away that caused us trouble.
Well, and Sean, what happens is you hear chief of police, you see chief of police, but then when you see Officer Young or Officer Smith reciting what the chief said. Mm-hmm. They are then enacting what the chief said. You see a cohesion between the chief's message and the men who are actually responding to every call. The public says the chief is not just blowing smoke up my butt.
Yeah.
It's not just rhetoric. It's not just talk. He believes it. So as a byproduct, the men and women who do the work believe it. That's why it works.
And those officers then, I think, in turn, give that same faith to the people in the community.
It's just like a father telling his son, I'm going to pick you up this weekend, and he shows up to pick him up. If the chief says, this is what we're going to do, and then does it, the men have to believe in the man's word. Now, you're not going to satisfy everyone. We had to, you know, there might be some dead weight or people that don't believe in the program. So fine, there are other places that could go. Oh, Kmart is always hiring. But when you have a chief that's promoting a message and the people have what we call a buy-in, the result is the community then believes in us more and it strengthens our relationship.
Well said.
Yeah, it's the need, I mean, it's often been said, but not until both you men have kind of explained it, because you'll hear, we need buy-in from the community. But if you don't give us community people something specific to do to buy in,
right,
then it's rhetoric and not action.
How can you help as the community?
Yeah.
And you need to know, how do you help?
Like, and you gave me the specific thing. When I hear those gunshots go off, I call in.
That's right.
I mean, that's something specific. I always say, well, I want to help. But when you do these things and tell me, you know, or, hey, it's okay, we're going to protect you. You can do this anonymously. And if you know something's getting ready to go down, you can help us out. And there's not going to be, because I know there has to be fear of retribution, because these are bad dudes you're dealing with.
If I can just simply say this, every time I go to a community meeting, I can't tell you how many times somebody says, well, I seen this or I heard this, but I didn't want to call in because y'all are busy. The truth of the matter is, if you call in, we may be able to prevent the very thing that we didn't want to respond to, such mm-hmm. as a robbery, a carjacking, or a homicide.
Yeah. And Chief, are you hearing the same thing from every community? I mean, are you only hearing it? Are there more than one community concerned with the things that you
mean? I've heard that on both sides of the interstate,
right.
And it doesn't matter to ethnicity.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't matter to community. The response is always the same. How can I help? And this is what I saw happen, but I didn't want to bother because you guys are extremely busy. We know you have more important things to do. I heard an old boss tell me one time, if we'll take care of the little things, the big things take care of themselves. Call the police and let us investigate it. If there's nothing to it, no foul, no harm, we'll be very well. Side head, you call.
There we go. Coming right back. More of our conversation with Chief Prine and Sergeant Young right here on Midday Mobile. We'll get to your questions from the text line, 251-343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Tell you what, we got. If you're calling, hold on, because we're going to get some headphones set up here. But I do want to get some questions from the text lines. Text line here for Chief Prine and Sergeant Young. Okay, so yeah, there's several of these that continue these questions about. We'll talk about a specific suspect here, and that's Rouser, because I'm looking at and the Walmart shooting got a lot of attention, I guess, because the dang brazenness, I mean, it's all horrible, but the dang brazenness of gunplay at the self-checkout at Walmart where we go with our families, our children, and all this stuff. And then, like you explained here about these people that have a track record, in the weeks to come, it was like, and then they were arrested for this, and they were waiting on bond for this.
Right. So when we started targeting some of these individuals in our community that we know that were prone to violence, the idea was that even some of the younger ones did not have a record. The idea was is to get them into the system, target them, get the low-hanging fruit, whether it's a no-pistol permit charge or whether it's a driving while suspended, get them on probation, get them in the system, get a conviction, because a lot of times future sentencing on future crimes relies heavily on the past, right?
Right.
And so we did a very good job last year. Of doing that very thing.
I want to, so yeah, let me get through all the the JAG team text here. Here's one from Brandon, and this is a question I actually mentioned to you during the break. Should we call all those in, meaning the shots? He said, I rarely hear what I can tell is an actual gunshot. So yeah, this is Brandon's like me, like, do we? Could it have been a firework? Could it have been, you know?
So what I would just suggest to Brandon, that regardless, if you think something's going on, call the police. We may go out there and respond to it. Obviously, that call will be prioritized. But nonetheless, we get out there, there's nothing going on, great. We just solidified our position in the community. But if we get out there and you're not aware of it, we may very well run up on an individual that's fighting for their life who has been shot and that they need medical attention very quick. So I would suggest you to call it in.
This one, for both of you, but I want to hear Sergeant Young's response to this, too, first. So, G-Man says, Sean, I wish that these gangsters would agree to strapping MMA gloves on and stepping into a ring with the person they have a beef with and throw hands until they're tired of throwing them. Would solve a lot of problems. You know, I talk about men being men.
I'd facilitate that in a heartbeat. I'd self-promote it and fund it.
I'll throw money
in. Yeah, I think I could find some sponsorship for that. That's the unfortunate part. These young men are at heart scared. They've not developed emotionally. They've missed some things in life that would help them deal with problems. And so they emulate what their environment tells them makes them a man, which makes them tough. And at the current time, it's materialism, flashy cars, jewelry, and skinny leg jeans that they can't pull up over their underwear, and a gun with a Glock switch, or a rifle pistol with an extended magazine or a 60-round drum, and that's what they've associated with manhood to be. And what better place to display their manhood than in public, in an area with plenty of people around, and since they've not... their hearts have grown cold to mankind. They don't understand empathy towards their fellow man who are not involved. They will always shoot more innocent people than the person they're after because they're untrained firing a weapon that will empty its magazine, 30-round magazine, in 2 seconds. So, yeah, I wish these urban terrorists, weak-backed punks would just, like they do on Facebook now, talk trash. Call Sergeant Young, and I'll set up a ring, or we can get out into the, like in the old days, we'll put our cars in a circle.
Yes.
And put our headlights in the circle and solve the problem.
I mean, if we're talking about it, if that 15 to 25-year-old is trying to prove manhood or some kind of strength, let's take a little quorum here of men. Who's tougher, the guy that, you know, pulls the trigger and runs or will step into a ring and, I mean...
Obviously, the latter.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, and I don't even know, and I know we talk like that. I don't even know if it really has to do with masculinity as much as it does. We have a probably the last two, if not three generations have been inundated, certainly by media, by the entertainment industry, that this is a thing. And but more importantly than that is that there's no reasoning amongst this younger generation, and they're emotional and they're impulsive, and that's dangerous when you add a gun to that situation.
And I'll step in from a civilian side, and something we talk about in our civilian roles as well. Teenagers are mush brains. We were all teenage boys. We were mush brains. But we had a guiding hand.
Sure.
We had a guiding hand to keep us, you know, inside the lines. Because, yes, I mean, to expect teenagers, since the Bible, teenagers have been mushheads. I mean, that's what we do. But there, you have family, and you have a community structure to say, you can't get outside that line, or I'm going to push you right back in line.
Sean, this all starts in the family. It doesn't matter how good we are as a police department, how good we are as a society or the education system. Discipline starts in the home. Love starts in the home. Faith starts in the home. And the idea is that when these young men or women grow up is that they've been prepared for society. We are woefully inadequate in the training of our young people today, regardless of who they are, to prepare for society. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate. But the idea is that a lot of this is perpetuated, whether it's hate, whether it's violence, is perpetuated generation over generation. And when we look for solutions, we can look for solutions to combat crime. But at the end of the day, the truth is we have to find a way to get into the home. Yeah. And that's the challenge.
Yeah, it is a challenge because you can't pass an ordinance on that. That's something that y'all can't do as Mobile Police Department, but we sure can do as men and women of Mobile.
Sure.
Well, Chief, has there been more emphasis on regulation from government and courts with laws and more a higher expectation of police to solve the problem you just named?
Well, you know, JY, we talked about that earlier, actually. I think today we're more inundated with hate and animosity amongst our fellow brethren than we were 20, 30 years ago. And I'd mentioned to you in the mid-90s, the hate law enhancements were passed on the federal government. And then, of course, the states followed in behind it. But we're no closer today. Just if we just talk about racial divide, no closer today than bridging that gap than we were 25 years ago.
Okay, how do you solve the racial divide thing?
Ultimately, you have to do it through love, and that comes from changing a man's heart. Now, my philosophy is the only person that can change a man's heart is God, right? So everything else is left up to us and figure out how we bridge that gap. And the truth is, it's through real leadership. Leadership bridges the gap. The lack of leadership separates and divides.
Well said. I'll grab a call here. I'm going to do this. Gary is up, and I'm going to kind of work these levers because I know y'all have headphones on. Gary, you're on with Chief Brian and Sergeant.
Well, hello, Chief and Sergeant Young. I think you're a major hero in our community. I appreciate everything you've done.
Now, the Chief appreciates that.
I had a situation last night where I actually called the FBI, and they actually put me on hold for 40 minutes to report something. So that's an issue in and of itself. I mean, when was the last time you called the FBI? It takes a bureaucracy just to go through the prompts just to talk to somebody.
All right, Gary, I'll just simply tell you this. I'm not really sure why you were calling the FBI. They're a completely different animal, so to speak, as it regards law enforcement. But I can tell you this. If there's something locally going on that's in our backyard, you won't have to wait 40 minutes to get that complaint in.
I agree with that, sir. I totally agree with that. And then they told me to call local law enforcement. I did do that. And I spoke to law enforcement last night, and I'm former law enforcement myself. I mean, I've known Sean for many years, and I love the program. I love everybody. I'm pro-law enforcement. I got a pro-blue, we support the blue thing in my driveway, whereas they could not do nothing last night because it was a hunch. It was a gut instinct on my part. And I don't know where we need to. I mean, if somebody calls and says, hey, I think my neighbor is by doing this, and then they can't investigate it because they can't go on my hunch. Is that a problem? Or?
Well, let me simply say this, and I think you alluded to it as a hunch. We want you to call in when you feel like something's just not right, there's not a problem. That does not necessarily mean that the police has the authority to intrude on someone else or their rights, okay? But what it does do is as time goes on and we get various complaints or calls from other people in the community, there are things that we can do once we've created a pattern of life for this particular house, this particular person. And that gives us leverage down the road to be able to investigate and do things a little bit further. But just because you don't feel like that we were able to immediately resolve that problem because you felt like or we felt like it was a hunch doesn't mean that your call was not important. It was very important. And the idea, though, is when you see something, you do need to call it in. But don't confuse the lack of action on law enforcement as somehow or another that we didn't do the right thing or that we didn't take you serious, because that simply isn't the case. But we still live in a world where the police is not the Gestapo, and we cannot just go in and intrude on other people's rights. Although a lot of people think we do, there's very, very few things we can do when it comes to investigating people. We have to have legitimate causes and reasons. And so my argument is if you are having a problem, continue to take those notes, and then if the person is nefarious in whatever activity they're doing, eventually you'll be able to find something that you can give to us that we'll be able to use. So keep up the good work.
Outstanding, sir. Thank you for the advice. And I'm not bad mouthing our police department in any way, shape, or form.
No worries. Thank you.
You guys were splendid, like beyond belief. Whereas they did give me a lecture of the law and say, hey, we just can't infringe on somebody's rights because I have a hunch.
There we go. Hey, Gary, I got to run. I got to get close to the break here. I appreciate your call. Leave the line open at 343-0106. There's a question here. This is interesting. This kind of gets into city council discussion and all that. But if the – somebody said, where is it? If the annex – Don says – if the annex happens to West Mobile, would there be a shot detector also implemented out that way?
So the shot detector and Echo Stop is a 3-year program. It's been in effect now going on not quite a year, but we're getting there certainly. And it was a 3-year program, and we'll measure that. Our idea is that if we're very successful with it and the program does work, the idea is that we build on it and do expand it.
All right. David on Dolphin Island says fatherlessness contributes to boys not knowing how to defend themselves old school, thus their need for guns.
Well, yeah, everyone who's known, who's heard me on the show before knows that it's one of my, the one thing that I've been screaming about and have the support of my friends and several other people, including the chief, would agree. And that is one of the long-term solutions is to encourage fathers to get back into their homes and raise their family. It is not a simple solution. It's not a quick fix. But we will reap the benefits starting today from fathers saying, you know what, I need to do a better job with my kids and set a better example. So indeed, that at the end of the day is the root cause of what we're dealing with.
This goes back to that goofy word, the holistic thing, right? Because we're talking about technology, we're just talking about ShotSpotter, and we're talking about fathering. Those are some things are high tech, some things are at the core of human beings.
Right? Matters absolutely not what tool we used. It gets back to it starts in the home first.
And this is a conversation three of us have had many times, but there has to be this point. There has to be, not like it's going to be it's somewhat of an epiphany moment, and it may stretch out over a decade. It took us, like Sergeant Young and I have talked about, it took us many decades to be where we are right now. So it might not happen overnight, but that doesn't mean you don't get started today.
Well, can I say this? It also starts in the home, but what contributes a lot to that is policies and laws passed by lawmakers. And so, I know that's a very, very big argument, and it's probably not one for today, but we also have to see beyond what we think is for our benefit. Sometimes laws are passed, and we were talking certainly about cameras, about these tickets being issued through the camera system, the automated system. Is it going to be used to make money or to be
or public safety?
Or is it public safety? But do you think that anybody would argue that it's about money when public safety will sell it? So we have to understand the big scope is that policies, whether it's state laws or federal laws, and laws that are passed upon us, they affect the home. And when they affect the home in any regards, we find ourselves in these positions, whether it's fatherlessness, whether it's welfare or welfare, the need for welfare reform, the lack of incentivizing work. All these things matter in a civilized society.
Well said. Coming right back, more of our conversation with Sergeant Young and Chief Pride. We'll get your questions at 343-0106.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Welcome back. Midday Mobile, FM Talk 106.5. And I wish I had another couple hours with these men. Mobile Police Chief Prine and Mobile Police Sergeant Young in studio. I want to say this before we go any further. This text here, and I think this is... this is what it's about. This texter says, them coming on to talk to us one-on-one is a major step in making us making us feel that we're involved in the solution.
Spot on, and that's exactly what we're trying to do. We're trying to get the community to step up, and if the community will step up, we're here to support the community.
Yeah, and that it's not, you know, we talked about this during the break, that it's all part, the police department exists because the community, meaning the city of Mobile, decided way back when we need a police department, and they're you're here to protect and serve the people of Mobile. It's not a separate entity.
Well, I'll argue this, and I think far too long is we've been divided somehow or another. It's the police department against the community, and it really my philosophy is simply this: the community has to decide if they're fed up with crime, and if they're fed up with crime, they have a police agency here that's their muscle to go out and say, "Hey, tell me where the crime's at, and we'll handle it for you." Mm-hmm. And it really is us supporting the community.
But it is supporting the community, but also the community supporting y'all, whether it's making that phone call when you hear the shots or making sure that there's proper role modeling, right?
You know, the majority of our force are born and raised in Mobile. I was born and raised in Mobile, graduated Baker High School in 1990. My family lives in Mobile. I have a vested interest in the how well Mobile prospers, as do most police officers. So we're not... distracted, or we're not disengaged from it. We want to be involved. We want the community to know we're here to respond to what you need collectively. If we get it done, if we do this together, we'll see a far better Mobile. There's only one Mobile, and we all stand in place to contribute to enjoy it.
You know, it's I want this, number one, selfishly, as you know, growing up here, this is my city. Also, I would like one day for what y'all do to be an example for other cities, you know, as we look at what are the best policing techniques and all that. I know those, you know, you share information and all that. I'd like people to go, okay, this is, look what happened here.
Well, I'll tell you this. It's ironic that you brought that up, but the mayor actually alluded to that in a recent meeting that we were in, that what we're doing, we're on the cusp of being a model for other agencies across the country. And but that's great if we do that. But as the police chief operating at 30,000 feet, so to speak, I understand that public safety is paramount because, you know, if we look at the economic system, we look at businesses coming in, these businesses are going to look at, they're going to look at the schools, they're going to look at the workforce, they're going to look at crime.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, maybe trying to redirect those young men too. We talked during the break, the conversation I had with President of the Mobile Chamber, former Congressman Bradley Byrne, in here yesterday. The numbers of job, the city is, you know, when I hear sea change and all that stuff from people, I go, yeah, is it really? But when they, like y'all brought in numbers, he brought in numbers, 700 jobs today for Austell, another 1,200 coming, 1,000 for Airbus, and another 1,000 for Novellus, plus another 200. I mean, that's just, and those aren't, those are jobs you can build a family on.
Absolutely good jobs for our community. We have to get our folks out. I would rather our folks in our community to go get them jobs rather mm-hmm. than these companies having to go outside of our community to hire people.
Because I think if, you know, we talk about that, you know, that that full approach, once somebody is engaged in a 40-hour week job, number one, less time to
they're busy.
Number two, they buy a house, they raise a family, they're engaged, and they become like all the rest of us, 99% that are engaged in having a great city.
And right? Here's the thing, and when people get out and work and they realize there's a benefit to it, not a holistic approach, not just from a monetary standpoint, but one that you can raise your family, the pride that comes with that, the dignity that comes with
yes.
that, you can't put a price on that.
You can't. Gentlemen, thank you for coming in.
Thank you, Sean.
Hope to see you soon.
Sure thing. Thank you.
All right. Coming right back, hour number two of Midday Mobile. Cameron Smith, AL.com, joins us. He's taken a beef with the rocket being brought down in North Alabama, and also a question about Senator Britt heading to the border. That's all straight ahead.